fact of the matter still is that President Yar'Adua has been missing in action for over 90 days. At this point, it's a game of smoke and mirrors. No one knows if he really is physically back. How long this will continue to play out is anyone's guess. But the most significant impact of his return is that they've effectively tied the hands of the Federal Executive Council from moving forward with the constitutional process under Section 144 to have the president removed for medical incapacity.
Is this power vacuum being deliberately set by President Yar'Adua, his close advisors, or maybe even his wife, Turay?
It's been a very unfortunate situation because no one honestly believes that the president is aware of what is going on. Just the games and the lies and the deceit is mind-boggling. The acting president has tried to see the president several times, and it's our understanding that not even his security aides have seen him. Literally, a bunch of troops were called out to ensure that no one was around to be able to see what exactly was brought into the country. So it's quite unsettling, and the mystery has just deepened. But right now, there's been a clarification that Goodluck Jonathan is still acting president.
Nigeria's Senate last week voted to limit the time that a head of state could be away from his office without informing parliament. How will this new set of conditions affect the current situation?
This is actually very, very important constitutional amendment, because we have a bunch of governors who like to go globe-trotting. And so you find governors who will be gone for weeks on end. Some governors even go abroad to attend Harvard government school and so on without leaving effective replacements behind. So this is a very important constitutional amendment to ensure that there's a chain of command and a protocol for management in the absence of the chief executive.
Now, the information minister, Dora Akinyele, told Nigeria's newspapers in an interview yesterday that people around Mr. Yar'Adua have mishandled his return and that there's confusion about whom to recognize. What is Dora Akinyele's role as a kingmaker in Nigeria, and how has her influence changed since the return of President Yar'Adua?
Well, I have to say that she has established herself as probably the only man, in quotes, in the Federal Executive Council, because she had the moral courage to stand up and say, folks, we can't continue with the smoke and mirrors anymore. The emperor has no robes, which is really what is going on here. So clearly, she's shown herself to be a person of character and integrity. For a while there, it was touch and go. It wasn't clear if she'll be victimized by the return of President Yar'Adua, because one of his proponents, the former attorney general, had actually threatened her with prosecution. So right now, she's not a kingmaker, but she definitely is now a respected voice in the country.
The United States and Britain are offering to support acting President Goodluck Jonathan. How does this outside foreign backing of Mr. Jonathan affect support for him among Nigerians, or does it have a backfiring effect?
No, I don't think so. In fact, Mr. Jonathan has had a string of good luck in the sense that President Bush and Prime Minister Blair happened to visit him within the first few days in office. So that certainly was a big boost to his credibility. He has also received a delegation from the military junta in Niger. And it's kind of ironic that the military in Niger recognizes him more than the military in Nigeria.
Is Mr. Jonathan's position very secure for now? And how does he stand with Nigerians in the street? Do they support him?
Certainly, he does have quite an appeal to Nigerians on the street. Firstly, because of his name. And Nigerians can be very superstitious about names and significances. And his streak of luck, no pun intended, has been incredible. So, yes, there is a feeling that he was destined to be there. Also, the fact that the vacuum has been resolved calls for rejoicing amongst Nigerians. They don't expect very significant changes. But if there was only one thing he did right in the last couple of weeks, was to take out the most disgraceful and ignoble Attorney General Nigeria probably has ever had. And that certainly solidified Mr. Jonathan's credentials in the eyes of the public.
Do his close ties to the Niger Delta put him in an advantageous position to calm tensions among opponents of the government in the south who have been raising protests against oil-producing interests in the region?
Yes, now that's an interesting thing. Nigeria finds itself in what you might call a perfect storm. And if one thing you can say about acting President Jonathan is that he doesn't have political structures because he's never run for elected office by himself, but he does have the Niger Delta militants who come from his area. And when you have that kind of firepower backing you, that can be very compelling and convincing.
Until recently, there's been no indication that Vice President Jonathan has spoken to President Yar'Adua since his return. Over the weekend, there had been a rumored visit that Jonathan was attempting to make again to see the president. What does this tell you about their relationship and about the precarious state of affairs that currently exists in Nigeria?
There's no doubt that his position still isn't very secure, even though, you know, they've come out and said that the president wants him to keep acting. The day before the president came, the acting president found a full waiting room waiting to see him. But after President Yar'Adua came back, there was no one in his waiting room to see him anymore. So there's been a state of suspended animation because no one has really figured out who's in charge.
Meanwhile, it's been reported that the top U.S. official for Africa, the Assistant Secretary of State Johnny Carson, had recent discussions with former leader Ibrahim Babangida. Can you tell us anything about their relationship or Babangida's relationship with the U.S.?
Yes. General Babangida did not have good relations with the U.S. Historically, he was unable to get a visa to go to the U.S. for most of his tenure. And Mr. Carson's remarks, well, this has been quite troubling to analysts in Nigeria who see Babangida as a kingmaker, except that the problem is he wants to make himself king again, probably the next go-around. However, what we're hearing is that Mr. Carson is claiming that it was a private visit to condole former President Babangida on the loss of his wife. And it's our hope that that is the truth and that the U.S. isn't courting him with a possible role for future leadership.
And recently, among Democratic activists in Nigeria, there have been calls for the removal of the Electoral Commission Chairman Maurice Iwu. Any signs of any changes on that front?
Iwu has a few more days to go. I think his tenure ends shortly. And probably it's easier to let him wind down his tenure than to initiate the process to remove him. Now, that said, there's also the danger that he could get an additional term to inflict the same kind of chaos he's perpetrated in the past on the Nigerian electoral process. And the reason that he would get that is you need to realize that the elections that appear to have been a disaster to the watching world are also viewed as a blessing to the members of the National Assembly and the politicians who got into power. So they do not have a genuine incentive to take him out. He's pretty much Father Christmas to them, Santa Claus. He gave them gifts that keep on giving. So the hope now is that he will not be renewed for another term and that acting president, good luck, if he does get confirmed as president, will do the right thing and appoint someone who will ultimately give us decent elections. And that may very well be his legacy.